sustainable development. And in the vision, Portlanders said they wanted a green, energy-efficient city. District energy is one way that we can put that concept into motion right away. District energy systems have significant potential to help Portland create resilient neighborhoods with increased energy security, fewer greenhouse gas emissions, and lower energy costs. Just in terms of District Energy 101, it's worth stating District Energy really is a cooperative effort to provide space heating, domestic hot water, and cooling for buildings in a defined area in the most sustainable way for the lowest cost. District energy systems have significantly reduced consumption of fossil fuels in many countries around the world and are emerging as a key strategy for local governments in reducing greenhouse gas emissions in the United States. The city is taking steps to understand where development of district energy in Portland could help achieve our objectives related to environmental and economic performance. The potential is promising, but we need to have the right conditions in order to create district energy systems that actually meet those objectives. These conditions include energy demand, sources of energy, distribution and delivery of energy, and certainty around new development and energy customers so that we can provide appropriate financial returns given the risks associated with that investment. The first place we're going to be looking is the development of the North Pearl District, north of Lovejoy, and it looks like a strong candidate for district energy system given the current development patterns that are happening there and the opportunity to get that key infrastructure necessary for district energy into the ground before the area is fully developed. However, we need to do an in-depth analysis to determine the degree to which these investments could be justified, whether it's a public or private investment or some combination. Through an RFP, the city will be releasing here in the next few weeks and bringing to council for decision. We'll be identifying a team of consultants who can best evaluate the technical and economic questions surrounding district energy. We can engage building developers, owners, and occupants about the considerations for their buildings and their occupants, and advise the city and the development community on the path forward. We'll also be working with a stakeholder group consisting of property developers, energy and green development experts, and neighborhood leaders. This group will help determine future actions to be taken and provide advice to City Council and to staff. I would just like to take one more minute to actually lay out the objectives that we're seeking to serve here, because district energy is not an end in and of itself, but only a means to these objectives. And it's worth being very explicit about what they are. Economic performance, both in terms of cost of service, should be comparable to other alternatives, as well as a return on investment commensurate with debt costs, risk, and community benefit. We're looking for sustainable development objectives within Portland generally, as well as in the North Pearl area that's being shepherded through a North Pearl policy group. We're looking to contribute to greenhouse gas emission reductions through advanced energy efficiency and clean energy. And by greenhouse gas emission reductions, we're talking 30 to 70% reductions, not 10% reductions. This is a significant opportunity. We're looking to provide long-term energy price competitiveness and stability to residents and businesses in this area, create strategic infrastructure to provide enhanced utility services and environmental performance, and to contribute to local energy efficiency and security by shifting from high-value gas and electric heating sources and heating and cooling sources to low-grade, alternative, sustainable heating and cooling sources. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the City Council. The Hispanic Chamber is very honored to be considered to assist in the implementation of a portion of Vision PDX Economic Portland. Economic Portland is a portion of the vision that includes issues of opportunity, prosperity, and livability related to our economy and the availability of meaningful work. The Hispanic Chamber is proposing to support Portland small businesses to, as stated in the vision, quote, support and protect the viability of local businesses to enhance a feeling of community, preserve the uniqueness of neighborhoods, and allow for creativity. Currently, the Hispanic Chamber is working with the total community to assist Latino-owned businesses. As a result of the support of our 700 members and our working relationship with other public-private sector organizations, we've been able to demonstrate measurable improvements for Latino businesses in Portland, increased sales, increased contracts in the public and private sector, increase access to capital in the public and private sector, increase number of jobs created, increase purchase of goods and services, increase purchases of business and personal properties, increase taxable income, and a contribution to the revitalization of our local neighborhoods. The Hispanic Chamber is proposing to share our experience, our contacts, and our skills to assist other small businesses in Portland by expanding the technical assistance services to micro and small businesses without ethnic, geographic, or income restriction. The initiative could possibly serve 300 businesses citywide in its first year and provide the first step to stronger neighborhoods and stronger small businesses in the year 2030. We propose to not only utilize the capabilities of the Hispanic Chamber, but we will also partner with Avita, a woman-owned North Portland business. If approved, the Hispanic Chamber and Avita can conduct outreach to new and existing businesses, conduct needs assessments, conduct one-on-one technical assistance for licenses, permits, etc., assist firms to access capital, assist in their marketing strategies to expand their markets, assist them in to identify and successfully contract with both the public and the private sector, conduct workshops, and then encourage them to participate in our trade show. In addition, the Hispanic Chamber could explore partnerships and continue to collaborate and refer to other organizations, including the Alliance of Portland the Alliance of Portland Neighborhood Business Associations. We refer them as APNBA. Other business associations and chambers, such as the African American Chamber of Commerce, the Philippine American Chamber of Commerce, the Native American Chamber of Commerce, and the Portland Business Alliance, the Small Business Advisory Council, PDC, SBA, what they call the Small Business Development Centers, and continue to work with our over 700 members. These services will enable small businesses to participate in Portland's current and future economic development opportunities. And what I have are some slides, and they're in your packages, samples of other clients that we've served and some of the outcomes. I won't go through each slide, but basically what you'll see there is increase in income, increase in contracting, increase in a variety of very measurable objectives that have been achieved. And you have examples of a variety of different businesses. We look forward to talking to all of you more individually regarding the details of this proposal. And I'm very honored to be here this evening. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Rich Gunderson. I work for Portland Parks and Recreation for 25 years. Now I represent the Culling Association of Neighbors. However, I think this initiative would be positive for all neighborhoods which are park deficient and have land set aside for future development or park areas that are only partially developed. This opportunity gives the communities seed money along with other resources in the form of donations and sweat equity to have a place to spend their leisure time rather than just in an empty lot. This type of program will create a community buy-in for their parks. The citizens will have more pride and a sense of ownership. With the increased usage, improper use of these spaces and vandalism will both decrease. The dollars the city spends will generate additional resources way beyond the money put up by the city. I urge you to approve this initiative. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Connie Van Brunt, Executive Director of the Portland Schools Foundation. Mayor Potter and Commissioners, I am so honored to be a part of this very important initiative. The approach, while common sense, is so theoretically strong. It is so inspiring to see Portland through this vision, through the activities of Learning Portland. I have a quote from Mayor Potter. A growing number of Portland teens and young adults are not ready to succeed at work, school, or contributing to our community in a productive way. We need to pull together to make sure future generations can strengthen the unique quality of life that makes Portland, Portland. That's such an eloquent quote. And today, Mayor Potter, you are walking the talk. Your initiative encouraging mentoring and tutoring is exactly the type of laser-like focus that has transformed lives in cities all over the country. It is so encouraging to see it embarked upon at a city level. It's the same thoughtful and analytical process that we will continue to champion for Connected by 25, which you helped us introduce in May. The vision document and this initiative serve as a further call to action for our businesses, our community leaders, our residents. Our economic vitality depends on the capability of tomorrow's workforce, but I don't need to tell you that. Our community vitality depends on everyone's being connected to school, work, and community. We do need everyone to participate and pay attention, and we plan to work together with the city on this excellent learning, program. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, commissioners. I'm honored to be here tonight. My name is Alice Perry, and I work for the American Friends Service Committee. But more important, I've been a resident of Portland for 43 years, and this is really exciting. I'm here to ask you to support the initiative for Social Portland, for the concept of a community gathering center. Through Vision PDX, we heard a very strong core value, which was that we need to build inclusion and diversity. We really need to bring our community together to foster the understanding between all kinds of people. And we need to take the action to make that happen. At the same time, Vision PDX surfaced the need to develop leaders, to develop the social engagement of all these different kinds of people, to make city government, the city, accessible to everyone. This community gathering center would go a long way to facilitate that. The concept is it would be able to house community-based organizations that have participated in Vision PDX. Many have already expressed interest, and other new emerging community organizations, along with partnerships with the private sector and the city, to build a community center where people would be welcome, where existing members of our community would be welcome, and newcomers would be welcome. The initial resources for this center would be technical staff provided by the city, perhaps PDFs, technical resources to find a current location, or perhaps some preliminary funds to draft a concept or business plan. But community organizations, again, in private sector, and community foundations would also play an important role in building the support, the ongoing support, to leverage community involvement and to continue to develop the civic engagement. Several times tonight, people have mentioned we want to stay involved. That came out in Vision PDX. This is a concrete way that people could continue to be involved. I also just want to say that coincidentally, or perhaps not coincidentally, because Vision PDX reached out to many new members of our community, but I also serve as a member of the Immigrant and Refugee Task Force, and a very similar concept arose in that task force. And I have been asked to convey from that task force that it supports the opening of a center.
With, of course, the understanding that task force members would be intimately involved in the development and implementation and operations of such a center, I thank you for this important step forward, and I urge you to vote positively on the resolution. Thank you.
At least one of the commissioners wanted to ask some questions. But so before we get into the public testimony, or if you want to wait until after we heard public testimony, but if you want to ask the questions now, you're welcome to.
Sheila and Dean Kaiser, or I have a question for you. So I've been accessing the report online, which makes it easier for me anyway to sort of scan through and look at the different how the different pieces of the work fit together. And I've just at the outset of before we listen to public testimony, I kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on in terms of a year from now, what would you like to see us having accomplished in moving forward the work that you and the team and everyone else worked on? Just give us a sense, if you would, of how you will know we are successful in the next phase.
Well, I would start, Commissioner, by going back to the group we had here about kind of the three-legged stool, the next step. The most important of those, of course, is the plan that's coming that Gil Kelly talked about as the beginning of that, so that there become a set of action goals and action strategies that come in place that flow directly out of those elements of the city that we talked about here. That would be number one. The second one, it's really related to the engagement side of this process, is that we would have the partners, and Stephanie talked some about that. We would the coalition of community partners who would say, this piece of the plan and the action strategies that follow, we want to take responsibility for that, so that the metrics are put in place, and then one begins to have the responsible agent. So it's the setting of the goals, a series of action strategies, which I call the metrics, and then the partners who are going to say that's our responsibility, and we're willing to take that on. That's what I would see happening over the next months here, so that when it comes, this kind of notion that other people have talked about, that this is the city's vision and then a strategy for the future, but not just city government, but it's all the pieces. That's really going to be the measure of success from my perspective.
I can see one way that that kind of a system that Marvin mentioned could be implemented, and that's possibly through the progress board, taking a look at the progress board's benchmarks and reassessing those and seeing how aligned they are with the vision and possibly revising them. And then there's a structure in place for keeping track of that and understanding how we're making progress moving forward. And I guess the second thing that that I'd like to see, and I think I speak for a number of members of the vision committee when I say this, is that as proposals come forward for using public resources, whether they're, you know, employees or new money, that we take a look at whether those proposals are consistent with what the community has said they wanted. I think if the vision is used in that way, that, you know, it will have gone a long way towards helping the community's voice be heard every day in city government.
That's very useful. And then just sort of a practical question to follow up on that is, what if there's something in here I disagree with? Let me give you the example on page 23. It says, brownfields are regenerated into green spaces and wildlife habitat, and the urban tree canopy has continued to expand. And it's a pretty finite statement, and we have over 700 brownfields identified in the city of Portland, many of which I would like to get cleaned up and put back into good economic use. So it isn't necessarily just all for wildlife or green spaces. Advise me on how I can try to keep faith with all the great work that's gone on here, but what if I disagree with a particular point?
Well, I think the spirit of much of what's in here is moving towards that vision, where we would have more canopy, more natural areas. And, you know, at the same time, certainly there's a place in economic Portland for making sure that we have, you know, what we need in order to help businesses thrive. So I think that, you know, understanding how to balance those things is something that the community is going to have to continue to talk about over time.
I think I would add to what Sheila said is that when we've divided, if you look at those elements into what there were value statements that we tried to be as direct as we could from what people stated in those value statements. We told some stories, and then we had this piece about visualizing. The visualizing was the committee's work on trying to take what we thought were the values and to provide some what originally we'd called directive statements. Those are I'd say interpretive statements about the values as a committee. Now, we were trying to walk kind of a fine line because this is a vision document. It's not the plans. So the visualizing was a step in offering some guidance as to where the values, those value statements would take us. And it seems to me that those are the kind, those visualizing statements, we think those are directives, but they're also certainly open to debate because that was an attempt by us to begin moving down a pathway.
Yeah. Thank you.
And also just to add to that, on November 14th, the City Council will have a work session on the Portland Plan and then get the direction from council as to how we should proceed from there so that the council will be making those decisions.
It's a great document you put together. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Further questions? How many folks do we have signed up?
We have 29 signed up.
Out of here by 11.
No. I'm going to ask folks to really keep their comments succinct. If you heard someone that has offered a comment that you would have, if you would be kind enough to forego so we could get through these, remember we still have to get to an intergovernmental agreement with the Multnomah Youth Commission following the Vision PDX. And so if you would call the first 10 people. Yes, and could you keep it to 2 minutes, please, or shorter?
Should we have them come up three at a time?
Yes, please.
Okay. Please come up three at a time. The first three are Brenna Bell, Judy Bluehaus Skelton, and Thomas Ngo. That's NGO, if I have that. They'll be followed by Commander Krebs, David Knapp, and Rabbi Isaac.
We're just doing three at a time.
Thank you for being here, folks. When you speak, if you'd state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Brenna Bell, and first of all, I'd love to thank you for the focus and attention you're giving, because I was here at 9 a.m. this morning, and I know that you all were too, and so I'm so glad you're still here paying attention to us. I love Portland. I love it so much, and I have loved being on the Vision Committee with other people who have spent 2 years and countless hundreds of hours and meetings and reading through thousands of documents because they love Portland. And what we were reading were responses from other people who love Portland, who are choosing to make this our home and saying, this is what I dream about. This is what I want to see. This is what I want to see for my children. Now, I'm a sixth-generation Oregonian and the mother to a seventh-generation Oregonian. And I'm not going anywhere, and I hope she doesn't either. And this was an amazing opportunity to really create a dynamic document to be used, hopefully for the next 30 years, to keep Portland, Portland. And I have three key points, which I guess I'll speed through. So the first is a lot of the testimony tonight has focused on the city's implementation of the vision. And as important as you all are and all your bureaus are, I think that really misses the point, that the vision is for the people of Portland to implement and for the communities of Portland to really buy into and make their own. And I think one really tangible way to do that and how you can support that is through generously funding the community action grants, because Portland has no end of innovative people and nonprofit organizations who really want to bring this vision into being. What is difficult is having the resources, having the technical resources, having the financial resources to gain traction, to really make those ideas come to life. And so I think that the council has the opportunity to make a thriving community action grant fund that is transparent, is accountable, and really empowers the people of Portland to implement the vision. So I urge strong, generous support of that multi-year if possible. I think it would be great to really get people moving on the ground. Oh gosh. I worked on this for 2 years, so I'm going to take another minute. The vision is a wonderful, dynamic, useful decision-making tool. And really, I just want to hone on the values, because we don't all agree with all the goals. Every one of us could pull out something that we don't agree with. But I think what we all do agree with is the values. And really encourage you all to use that and weigh every decision you make against those values. Does this promote sustainability? Does this promote equity and accessibility? Does this promote community connectedness? And that's the way the vision can be best used. You can actually, forgive me, throw out the entire rest of the document, and if you just use those values on making your decisions for the next 30 years, we've done our work with the vision. And the third thing I'd like to advocate is to see the vision for what it is and not what it's not, because it is imperfect. It was an imperfect process. We had no idea what we were doing. And the media really had no idea what we were doing, and they didn't like it. And there were some huge setbacks, but it's beautiful. And having worked with it a lot, I really, you know, I don't know that you'll love it as much as I do, but at least like it. Give it a chance, because it's a beautiful document from people whose heart is really for this city, as I know yours all is. So thank you for letting it happen, and enjoy reading it.
I'm Judy Blue Horse Skelton, and it's an honor to be here. And I'll dive right in with 2 minutes. Since the beginning of time, people have gathered at the confluence of these two rivers to fish, to trade, to dig, to play, to tell stories, to exchange ideas, to share information. And as part of the culture, it is the custom to act, think, live in consideration of future generations. So we've been visioning in this area for a long time. What made this new was, the last 200 years have not been a good time for Native people in this region. And so when the mayor opened the door and invited historically marginalized people to come to the table, the big table, I ventured in, and I found a lot of people, like Brenna and Thomas and others, who love this place, whether it's in the last 100 years or the last 10. I've been inspired by the latest wave of immigrants who seem to share a lot of the values, priorities of food, children, education, following the seasons and rhythms of life, which is a cultural fit with the first peoples who were here. It's almost like we're coming full circle, and I want to thank the mayor for insisting that this process be inclusive. There were many times sitting at the big table that it stung, It's why you don't see more people of color at the big table. And so, okay. And so we kept coming back for the last 2 years, and I'm looking forward to this process continuing. I think it's just the beginning. I think a lot of people have been touched. They may not be able to be here tonight, but they've approached me personally. One elder said, this is a tremendous opportunity for us to share what Native people know with the other cultures and respect all the different ways of knowing. And so I think to plan for the future, we may be having an opportunity to heal the past, which must happen first. This process has been very healing. No one voice speaks for all people. I speak only for myself, but I'm going to continue to stay engaged, and I know some young people who can't wait to get involved as well. So thank you for starting this. You've opened a door. We've come in, and I think we're going to be staying committed to this process. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Thomas Ngo, and I just wanted to say I'm deeply, deeply honored, and I just wanted to thank you all, Mayor Potter and the commissioners, and the rest of the vision committee that we've served on. Now, I just wanted to share the typical response you get when you talk to somebody. You ask them to, what do you value in Portland? And at first, it's kind of shock, surprise, and maybe a laugh. But then there's a realization that, oh, they're really serious. And they pour their heart into it. And they let you know what really they value. And this has been consistent throughout my experience with Vision PDX. Now, this is not just some, it does validate what we think we know. But it's really a process of self-discovery. And it's an ongoing process. We are continually growing, and you got to keep checking up on it. And we need, in order for this to work, we don't need just, your votes are important, but we need your wholehearted energy to make this a success. So I ask for that from all of you. Thank you very much. It's been such a great honor.
And next we'll have Commander Krebs, David Knapp, Rabbi Isaac. They'll be followed by Tom Campbell-Schmidt, Rolya Manyongai-Jones, and Ruth Atkins.
Mike Krebs, Portland Police. I've been a member of Vision PDX for nearly 2 years. I've attended numerous meetings, and during those meetings our sole goal was to hear the voice of the community and hear the voice of Portlanders and then place it into this document, and I think we've done that. And that document sitting before you, I'm going to use this document at East Precinct to help me develop my policies and make decisions. I'm asking you to do the same and adopt this resolution and then use this to develop your policies and make decisions. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Can I ask you one question, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Give me an example of something you intend to do as a result of the document.
One thing you see in there, they talked about the police and the community working together to solve problems and solve conflict. That's one of our current organization goals right now, and I'm going to continue to do that. Also, a loud voice talked about equality, about equal police service, about equal service throughout the community. And I think that's what I heard loud and clear coming from people talking about equality and sustainability. One of the things we do at the police bureau is problem solving. We can go there and solve a problem, and solve it for a week or two, but citizens want these problems solved for good, and they want them sustained for long periods of time. So that's what I heard from the citizens. That's what I'm going to do as the precinct commander at East. And I plan on being at the Portland Police Bureau for many years, so I got about another 10 left. So I might be here in 2020. So does that answer your question,
been here,
sir?
You've been here a long time today already.
I know. I enjoy seeing you guys.
Thanks.
Mayor, Commissioners, I'm David Knapp. I'm pastor of St. Luke Lutheran Church in Southwest Portland, and the last thing you want to do at this hour is listen to a preacher, I'm sure. But what I want to do is share one story, and that is a little over a year ago, I brought a survey to a member of our community and said, I want you to fill this out for the vision. She said, I've already filled it out. I did it so online, and I only put down one thing, and that is I want sidewalks in my neighborhood. And I laughed, and she didn't. When we talked, I realized that what she was talking about was not only cement, but a way to make it from her house to other houses in the community, to build that sense of community. As I open up the document today, I turn to page 25 and I read under Social Portland, we are a community whose members care about and are committed to our individual and collective well-being. That's exactly what she was telling me. It's in this document. We at St. Luke Lutheran look forward to working with the city on this document, this vision.
And you have my commitment to have an option to have sidewalks in Southwest Portland within the next few months.
Hi, I'm Daniel Isaac. I'm rabbi of Congregation Neve Shalom in Southwest Portland. This hearing comes at a very special time for Jews and for Muslims. This is our Aseret Yemei Tshuva, this 10 days of repentance and introspection. And for Muslims, this is during the month of Ramadan. And I mention that in particular because it was my good friend Shahriyar Ahmad, who is the imam of the Bilal Mosque, who actually got me involved in Vision PDX. This period for us is a time of inventory of the soul, a time where we confess our missteps and resolve to move in more positive directions. It seems to me that that's exactly what Vision PDX is really all about, is to take evaluations, to look to the future and head in the best directions possible. As I read my section of the survey, and I read hundreds of surveys along with Brenna, as a matter of fact, on social issues, yes, there were many complaints that were listed. Complaints about panhandlers, complaints about potholes. But as a religious leader, what impressed me the most was reading surveys by citizens of our community who hurt, who are in difficult family situations, who are in difficult health situations and economic situations. And they wrote about Portland as a caring city. And that was very, very impressive. With kind people helping institutions. And so I just want to share with you that from my vantage point, we have a great deal to be proud of. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the next three are Tom Campbell-Schmidt, Ralia, and Ruth Atkins. They'll be followed by Elizabeth Moreno, Ellen Bergstone, dear, and Donna Jennison.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
I'm Tom Campbell-Schmidt, and I've served on the Vision PDX team for the last 2 years. I'm also a pastor at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. So in that regard, I think I'm one of four people from the religious community who have been serving on Vision PDX. But three words and then a very short story. The three words are vision, we've already heard the word leadership, and listening. Several months ago, we listened to our local agency, Neighborhood House, about what their needs were. We asked the executive director. He said, with the funding cutbacks for our food program, we've lost our food coordinator, and our shelves are kind of bare. So we said, okay, there's a need for food in our community. So we set about launching a program, which was called Southwest Hope, Feed the Hungry. And in doing so, cast a vision and for feeding the hungry in our community, discovered that with listening and leadership and casting that vision, amazing energy came on board so that we had 40 different organizations cooperating in this effort that just lasted, you know, about 3 or 4 months. And we set a goal of 50,000 pounds of food or in-kind donations, and we more than doubled that. That, to me, that kind of engagement on a community level is what I see happening here on a broad city level. And that's why I'm excited about not only the step that's taken tonight, but what will happen, God willing, in the next 20 years.
Hello, my name is Rulia Menyongai-Jones. I'm a community leader originally from Liberia, West Africa. First of all, I would like to say thanks to Mayor Porter for inviting us and the commissioners us to our house again for this important event, because you told us this was our house. I feel very welcome in this living room. One thing I would like to say, you are building a global relationship within the city of Portland. I'm very grateful to testify on behalf of the African immigrants and refugee women concerning the importance of having a community gathering center under Social Portland, where we can dialogue with other ethnic individuals and groups to promote our diverse culture heritage throughout the city of Portland and the state of Oregon. This center will be a global home for all of us. I also like the initiative of Learning Portland. As an educator, it is so needed throughout our school system. In closing, I would like to say in an African proverb, never forget the bridge that crosses you over. We will never forget you and your current council member. Thanks for your attention.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. My name is Ruth Adkins. I'm a member of the Portland School Board. I just want to offer a couple of quick comments as an individual citizen. One, just given the importance of early childhood education, I would hope that we'd be focusing on pre-K through 20, not just kindergarten through 20 going forward. And then second, I just wanted to emphasize the importance of public education in all of the school districts located throughout our city and within the city's borders. And finally, I just want to say, you know, on behalf of the board and Portland Public Schools, we're looking forward to working with you in partnership as we move forward into implementation and on the whole community, so that we can have a family-friendly city with quality public schools for every child. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Next are Elizabeth Moreno, Ellen Bergston-Deer, and Donna Jennison. They'll be followed by Steve Oster, Rivka Sodarajani, and Promise King.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Elizabeth Hoffacker Moreno, and I have been involved with Vision PDX almost from the beginning, first as a community grantee on the Vision Vessel project with Ellen here, coincidentally, and then also on Hacienda CDC's project to collect feedback from low-income residents of Hacienda's affordable housing. Subsequently, I became a member of the Data Analysis Workgroup, the Drafting Committee, the Overarching Vision Committee, and then finally one of three writers of the Community Input Report, which you have before you tonight. So I have been present with many people in this room at pretty much every meeting that has dealt with data analysis. Whippy, since this process started. I've also personally read over 4,000 pages of community input, which I think has given me a pretty unique perspective on what Portlanders think. And so I just want to briefly share two insights with you about that. The first is that this community input is not just data. There is the occasional, you know, please fix the pothole comment, but for the most part, the data is filled with one passionate, heartfelt, eloquent, insightful response after another. I have been consistently touched and inspired by what I have read and have come to regard this input as precious. And with the Community Input Report and the vision document, you now have access to this precious data. So the second part of my message is that the reports that you have in front of you make accessible the massive amount of information that was collected. They are the true distillation of this feedback and the result of a process that, as Sheila previously noted, has been characterized at every step by an unwavering dedication on the part of those involved to get it right, to accurately convey both the main ideas and the nuance, the areas of disagreement, and the complexities. So I know this is, my time is almost over, but you have at your fingertips an amazing wealth of information, and my request to you is that you please use it. Thank you.
I'm Ellen Burke-Stone-Beer, Executive Director of Film Action Oregon. Mayor and Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to comment on the results of the last 2 years of hard work by so many. This is clearly a monumental effort and deserves to be celebrated. As I was reading through this document about the hopes and dreams for Portland of 2030, I was delighted by how often the arts, creativity, and culture in general are part of the long-term vision. It's especially appropriate since so many creative methods were used to engage the community in the Vision PDX process. At Film Action, we are dedicated to encouraging and nurturing those involved in creative services through educating emerging filmmakers, supporting working artists, and engaging diverse audiences at the Hollywood Theater. We're thrilled that the long-term goals of Film Action are in line with the results of the Vision PDX process, and it feels great to be in sync with Portland's citizens. Still, the big question is, how do we make this vision a reality? As this has been a public process, we are all responsible for the outcome, but we need strong leadership, precise roadmaps, and ongoing engagement. It will require a lot of creativity and perseverance. So I offer this suggestion. Engage those of us in the filmmaking community and the arts in general as partners in making Vision PDX a reality. We are the modern-day storytellers. We give form to abstract concepts. We reach broad populations, and this vision affects us. We want to make Portland an even better place for the entire creative community to live and work. So do not forget us as you move forward to craft the next steps. Let us work to create the new reality with you.
Good evening, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Donna Jennison. I'm Executive Director of the Oregon Media Production Association. We are a nonprofit trade association, about 350 members, been in existence about 25 years. Our mission is to promote the development, growth, and enhancement of film, video, and multimedia industry in the state of Oregon. Simply put, we're about jobs and small business. These are hardworking taxpaying individuals and firms who make their living by providing expertise and services to the film, video, multimedia industry. They are the camera operators, the grips, the gaffers, the electricians, set designers, etc. It's also the hotels, the dry cleaners, the restaurants, trucking companies, security firms, sign companies, and all those support services that are involved. We help bring wealth to the region through feature films, TV shows, documentaries, made-for-TV movies, and commercials. Ours is a group of professionals who love living and working in Portland and the surrounding area. We care about the environment. We are currently working towards standards for green productions and sustainability, along with the Oregon Film and Video Office, which you'll hear from soon. We give back to the community tenfold with many pro bono projects such as videos and PSAs for the Oregon Humane Society, the Dougie Center, Drug Free America, and many more. We're part of that creative cluster that looks forward to partnering in the communication, the goals, the strategies, and the environment of a vibrant city structure where one can continue to pursue that creative career. So we thank you for Vision PDX, and we look forward to working with you.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Next three are Steve Oster, Rivka Sidargani, Promise King. They'll be followed by Lisa Lee Iacuzzi, Melinda Pittman, and Paul Schlesinger.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 2 minutes.
Good evening. I'm, for the record, Steve Oster, the director of the Oregon Film and Video Office. Mayor Potter and commissioners, just want to follow up real briefly on the previous two speakers in terms of adding from the state perspective our invitation for a continued voice of support around the film, video, and new media industry here in Portland. It's an industry that brings about $370 million into the local Portland area economy, and it's part of the rapidly growing creative economy that has been an influx into the area recently. That comes in via local production, television production, commercials, industrial films, and it also comes in, of course, via outside or out-of-state production that comes in, such as last year's Feast of Love and Into the Wild, Untraceable this year, and the current project management, which is going to begin shooting next week. Those four projects alone brought about $25 million into the Portland area within about 18 months. And as Donna mentioned, that money gets spread out throughout the community, not only for jobs for people directly associated with the industry, but also hotels, restaurants, caterers. And that all in turn, of course, equates to money coming into the city's coffers, which can be used to implement some of these programs that are also being discussed. It's an industry with a high economic impact and a very low environmental impact, so it matches well with the stated values of sustainability and environmental preservation. And then it also has the added boost of the tourism industry. We just previewed Feast of Love on Monday night, and it's a wonderful two-hour moving postcard of the city of Portland that's going to show in thousands of theaters throughout the country. So it makes people aware of the beauty that's here as well and adds to the tourism industry. So thank you very much for your time.
Mayor Commissioners, I'm Rivka Sadarangani, Managing Director at Portland Community Media. Portland Community Media is Portland's local community media center and public access television station. For 25 years, we have been supporting the exchange of ideas, encouraging civic engagement, protecting First Amendment freedoms, promoting diversity and inclusiveness, and preserving and sharing local culture, and ensuring that all the voices in our community are heard. In short, we make media that matters. We've served over 600 people through our media education program. We've transmitted over 8,000 hours of original programming. We tape your local city council work sessions, regular sessions, as well as budget meetings. And we're also documenting the Vision PDX process as a model of civic engagement that can be emulated worldwide. In having the opportunity to document the process, we've had the chance to observe it and be on a fly on the wall, so to speak. And we've seen, you know, the debates, the dialogue, the arguments, the differences, but we've also seen the connections that have been made and the sharing that's taken place between the participants, the survey participants, respondents, as well as the staff and every community member who's participated in the process. And what it represents, I think, most of all, is an opportunity to listen, hear, look at this information, look at this data, and really make movement, change, and to put this amazing plan and vision and values into action in the next 30 years for Portland. So with that said, I encourage and support the innovative and alternative methods that Vision PDX utilize in communicating with the public and gathering all this data and information, and that urge you to consider that the independent alternative film and video and television industry is clearly a valued part of Portland's community, and urge you to consider our needs when council decisions are made. Thank you.
Yes, Mayor Porter, my name is Promise King. Interim Executive Director of Oregon League of Minority Voters. We are being incubated to analyze some of these city issues and policy. You know, some have asked what made a great man. Some say it's the company you keep, others say is a commitment to the values that you hold. Mayor Porter, you're a great man. I don't know when I will have a chance again to tell you you're a great man. This document is not just a document, but a monument. Monument to aspiration and hope of some of us who find ourselves inside this struggle. The struggle to share values and struggle to create inclusion. You know, when I came to this city, I didn't have this vision. All I have are folks like Commissioner Leonard and Deborah Kafuri and Randy Edwards, who's the state treasurer, and lately Commissioner Sussman. These are the vision that I have. These are the people that I just hang onto. These are the guys that gave me the vision. I didn't have a vision. And lately also, with Sam, my friendship with Sam and Eric Stein and all this support. But thank goodness we have a document, a monument to those who are coming after Promise King, those who want to get involved. This is a monumental leadership. I ask that you support it with all your zeal and your effort. You support it with all your power and spirit. Please let it not gather any dust. But by us at the League of Minority Voters, we will assure that I can promise you this, that we will assure that we will ask the ask questions. We will ask questions that will bring answers, a consensus to this document, to this monument. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next are Lisa Lee Ikuzi, Melinda Pittman, and Paul Schlesinger. They will be followed by Nicole Chevron, Richard Ross, and Casey Jama.
Thank you for being here, folks. Please state your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
Thanks. My name is Lee, and I am not a good queer. Not a good queer is a mind paradigm shift for those who seek equal rights. I believe that the PDX vision does include sexual minorities in their vision, but I would ask them to start looking at heterosexism. I believe that the way of gaining gay rights and the path that we've been going so far has only been looked at through homophobia. The root of the problem is heterosexism. Massachusetts is the only state in the United States that has free equal rights. Massachusetts is the only state that deals with heterosexism. In my master's project, I did a survey of future teachers, and 90% of them did not know the definition of heterosexism. I believe most of the people on the city council probably do not either. So, to make my point, I will just do it very quickly. Most gays have coming out stories. They frequently say they came out of the closet. I came out of a social construction that stated the only normal sexuality was heterosexuality, and the only normal gender was male or female. Therefore, I did not come out of the closet. I came out of heterosexism. There will be those who will deny that heterosexism does not exist, but they cannot deny the gay and lesbians' coming out stories. Thank you.
Yum.
Better yet, trade with Tom, because I know you wouldn't afford it. It's not that I'm paranoid. It's just like a certain.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Stephanie, could you get some napkins, too? Well, we're set. Go ahead. Please.
Stephanie, could you get about 75, 80 more of those? Great, thank you. Mayor Potter, commissioners, I'm delighted to be here. I'm Melinda Pittman. I'm the artistic director of Broad Arts Theater. We are the ones that did the interactive cabaret musical called If I Were the Queen of This Forest. And I will try to limit my comments to things that haven't been said, prefacing those comments by saying I think that this is an enormous opportunity for the people of Portland to be the populace and to be civically engaged. And I'm very thrilled that the people of Portland can come up with a plan for our own future, that we look to you as elected officials and the future women and people of color of elected officials to implement and to guide us. Not that there's anything wrong with you guys. You guys are great. Okay, I have a minute left. So art sculpts civilization. Thank you very much. In case you don't know, Broad Arts Theater does comedy, music. And our mission is to change the world one joke at a time. And we're very serious about that. Because we think that the world can be changed with a lightness of heart and a change of heart. Because original art, art that's about our times and times now, and telling the real stories of real people, our show we performed for homeless people, for women, for working women, for union workers, for people who want to have living wage jobs, for people who want to be treated with dignity and included, people of color, LGBT folks, the whole panoply of our community. And now I have 30 seconds left. Ooh, I have to sing really fast. So here it is. We are all in this together. Here we stand, here we be. We are all in this together in our journey to live free and to stand up for our dignity, stand up for our souls. We are all in this together. Here we stand, here we hold. I'm just singing.